just keep thinking of tips and how that landscape has changed and how that's going to happen. And I'm so anxious to see how that's going to happen.
Big time.
In Ruston, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Bucky's. We've got the mayor of Ruston, Ronnie Walker, on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're doing very well. Thank you for asking. This has got to be exciting. They've broken ground. Construction has started, right?
Correct. They were actually moved the equipment in on Friday afternoon and started working Monday morning. And, of course, then we get rain yesterday. It slows it down a little bit.
Of course.
Part of construction.
What's the length of construction time to build a Bucky's?
It's approximately 15 months, but they're saying now, you know, it's going to be January, February, probably of 2027, which is fine with us. It does. We're just ready for it to get built and the people start coming to Ruston.
They've got a lot of digging to do to put in all of those tanks, don't they? With 5,000 gas pumps out in front, that's going to be a lot of tanks out in front.
A lot of tanks. Fortunately, where it's located is they're not having to build the site up. It's kind of on a hill anyway, so that helps not having to move a whole lot of dirt. But it's still a huge project when you think about 74,000 square feet and 700 parking spots. That's a lot of space.
God, in the grand scheme of things, in terms of Bucky's, this is one of the biggest, right?
Well, it's the new model, they call it. It's the bigger. They've started building the bigger ones like that's coming here, 74,000 square feet. The old ones were about 54,000 square feet.
Wow. Do we know what the Lafayette one is? It's going to be the new one too, I guess, huh?
Yes. I think all the ones they're building right now are the new model.
And let's talk jobs and the pay and all that. Or have they started that process at all, hiring, or what is the status of that?
Sure. No, they have not started that process yet. The old model was 250 jobs, so I feel like this will be a little bit bigger than more jobs because of the size. I don't think all that process will probably 6 or 8 months before ribbon cutting for that. So don't know the dates on those yet.
But we're still talking about pay closing in on $20 an hour?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
$18-$20 an hour. And of course, management supervisor positions make more than that. So it's going to be great jobs. It's like I told the governor, they're quality jobs. You've got $18-$20 an hour, plus you get health insurance, plus you get a 401k. And the health insurance part is so important, especially in North Louisiana.
Mayor, we know that in addition to Bucky's, it creates an entire city around it. And you mentioned last time, but we asked, have you gotten more businesses contacting you about building around the Bucky's development?
Oh, absolutely. As soon as we announced it, I guess now it's been 2.5 years ago, we started getting calls. So we feel sure there's going to be others. And Bucky's themselves have certain companies that usually follow them also. And the great thing about it is they bought 82 acres here. They only need about 40 for the travel center itself. So it gives them, 42 other acres to develop.
Mm. Okay. How are we doing on the infrastructure with the roads and everything that Bucky's needs at that site?
The city started our portion about 6 or 8 months ago. We've got about 4 months left to be finished with that. Lots of construction is going on because the entire interchange, all the roads, the exits, everything have to be changed. So that's moving on really good. We're about halfway through with the water and sewer. The electricity will start in the next couple of months, getting all of that to the site. So what we've done, we asked our contractors to go ahead and lay all the water and the sewer on Bucky's site. Not on their site, but to the connection point on their site and work backwards. So that's worked out really well so that we'll be out of their way when they start all the dirt moving. We'll start the electrical probably in a couple of months.
Do we have any actual applications yet for other businesses, hotels, housing, anything definitive yet?
No actually applications or permits. We've had several who have been and made several visits to the site and, you know, pretty much have determined where they want to be. But no, we have not received any building permits or anything yet.
Mayor Ronnie Walker of Ruston, you must, when you get out of bed in the morning and put your feet on the floor, you must be grinning every day thinking about Ruston's getting a freaking Buc-ee's. Do you say that to yourself?
Well, yes, sometimes I do. It's really crazy. I had no idea when we announced it what a huge following Buc-ee's has. But now it doesn't matter where I go. I can be in Dallas or D.C. or Baton Rouge, wherever. Somebody is always asking, well, hey, when's it going to open and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's just an exciting time to be in Ruston, especially in North Louisiana, with all the stuff that's going on. Louisiana Tech is growing. They've got their largest freshman class for the third straight year. So a lot of great things are happening in Ruston. We're just very excited and blessed to be a part of it.
Mayor, we know there's a lot to look forward to. What are some of your concerns about it? Do you have any concerns?
You know, I think the biggest concern I have right now is watching what happened when the one opened in Mississippi. There's, you know, the traffic is just unbelievable. And making sure that all the plans that we have done, our engineering firm has done, DOTD, the ones DOTD has approved. So just to make sure that everything works out, especially at first, because, I mean, every business that opens seems like in a Ruston anyway. We have just for the first few months, it's just crazy. So to make sure everything works out perfect. And
I mean, because this is going to mean more police officers, more emergency personnel, more employees. For the city.
Exactly. And, you know, we're planning for all of that and understand that. We have looked at other cities, you know, where Buc-ee's has come and to try to get some examples. We feel like we'll be prepared.
We'll take a quick break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Ruston Mayor Ronnie Walker on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. We were talking about expected sales tax revenue before we got cut off.
And I'm looking at a couple of them. One is Crossville, Tennessee. Their sales tax revenues went up $4 million in a year after Buc-ee's opened. Is that kind of what you're looking at?
Listen to him laughing.
Are you hopeful?
I'm very hopeful, yes. And it's not just the city. I mean, you know, the school board, the sheriff's department, the police jury, all of these entities receive sales taxes. So, yes, we're all hoping that ours produces the.
This is going to be better than the Haynesville like shale.
I don't think that's possible, but it'll be good. I guarantee you.
Do you have a wish list? Are you putting together a wish list, things you want to spend with the expected increase in revenues?
Well, not really, because, you know, we have done over the last 10 years, we've done over $200 million in infrastructure work within our city, getting ready for things like this, companies like this to come to Ruston. So we have a long list of projects we'd like to do over the next 20 years. So that's part of it. Right now, though, like I said earlier, we're very blessed. We have over $600 million worth of projects that are coming right now, private investment type dollars. This is not the state spending money. This is not the city. These are private investors who are building different type projects within the ceilings of Ruston. So we've got, I promise you, my staff will tell you, I've got a long list of projects we'd like to do over the next, you know, 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm. I know we might have talked about this last time you were on, Mayor Ronnie Walker of Ruston, Louisiana. But this affects so much of the community, including housing. Do you have developments that are now talking about single family home developments.
Absolutely. We have a new, in fact, they just started building homes about 6 months ago. They've been working on the infrastructure for about a year, 304 single family homes. So that's going to be a real boost to us. We really needed those with our, in our community, but also we're still having a real growth of apartments for tech students, Grambling students, and also young professionals. So that market is very, very hot over here.
Did you have an official groundbreaking, or is that coming up? What's the plan for that? I know they're doing the work now, but did y'all have a little cut the ribbon and wear the hard hat and all that good stuff yet?
Not yet. That will be Bucky's time frame. They are looking at probably November. They would like to get all the trees, ready for the slab to be built before they have that. So that'll be a few weeks away.
And then I'll switch gears to the grand opening that you obviously have on your calendar for sometime January, February of 2027. How big an event's that going to be? I'm sure the governor will be here. All kind of big shots will be around, huh?
I'm sure it will be well attended. We hope it will, like I said, the first quarter of 2027. I'd love to have it sooner, but that's what I think the date will be. Everyone will be invited, I can promise you. I tell people all the time, this is not just Ruston, this is Lincoln Parish, this is whole north part of the state, because I think it will affect all of North Louisiana.
Now, I need you to do me a favor. You said construction is started, they've got heavy equipment on site. Would you run out there and take some pictures for me?
I'll be glad to, but we're trying to do something even better. They have a construction camera. We were going to put a camera up out there so we could kind of give people a day-by-day process.
Cool.
They could just go on our site. If you want me to send you some individually, just send me your number and I'll be glad to. I promise you I'll have plenty in my camera.
Oh, I bet.
Sweet.
I bet.
I'm going to text you when we get off the air.
I bet. Now, you're in contact with the Bucky's people. How regularly are y'all in touch?
You know, not as much as you would think. They have a great organization, and Stan Beard is the person who is my contact and has been my contact since we got to the point where Beaver finally said, "Mayor, we've gotten it to the 5-yard line now. We need to turn it over to our other people here." And so Stan's been my contact. We don't talk as much as you would think. It's not like a weekly thing. It's every month or so, mm-hmm. Just to be sure we're on the same page.
Mayor.
They've been a great organization.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah. we're excited for you.
Yes.
It's going to be great to have us close to the Shreveport-Bossier market. I know everybody in town is looking forward to it.
Well, why don't you just come do your show over here when we finally get open? How about that?
I like that idea.
We'll talk.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Mayor, thanks for always being available. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Send me those numbers. I'll send you pictures.
You bet.
That sounds great. Mayor Ronnie Walker, Ruston, Louisiana. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault going to join us after the news, bottom of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I was at the luncheon yesterday with House Speaker Mike Johnson, and Grayson Butcher, city council member, did come up and spoke on your behalf.
Yes.
I had to say it because that's what Sonia said. but you were in Baton Rouge?
I was in Baton Rouge, yes.
Getting an award. Congratulations.
Well, the city was getting an award for Block by Block.
Yes.
We received the Community Improvement Award. As a part of their Everyday Heroes program. Keep Louisiana Beautiful.
Thank you.
Interestingly, we got a lovely acrylic trophy of the state of Louisiana. It had an envelope under it. We couldn't figure out what the envelope was. And so last night, Marcus came down because Marcus has headed up all of that stuff and been responsible for directing all of it. So I wanted to make sure he was there to also to accept the award. And he called me last night and he said, there was something in that envelope. And so we got $500.
Oh, cool.
It was great.
Very cool.
I'm glad I didn't just take that off. And I didn't know that there was a, a cash prize, we'll put that toward BBB and,
yes,
and go forward. But that's it was really a recognition of what we, the momentum that we have created with Block by Block. And
there was really $1,000 in the envelope. But Marcus, here, let's split this.
I haven't seen it. I'm pretty sure it was $500. It is what it is, and it'll go to the CAO today for disposition.
I have to tell you, because I've watched the Block by Block initiative things going on, just to all the city employees, all the crews that, you know, you tell your folks, okay, every Saturday, guys, almost every Saturday,
I believe there were 11 out of 13 weeks.
Wow.
And real dedication on the part of our folks and volunteers. We had 312 registered volunteers, mm-hmm, probably some more besides that. And they showed up. A lot of those volunteers showed up for virtually every one of those cleanups.
Wow.
And that was phase one.
Right.
Phase two is...
Phase two, right now we're going to be holding some community meetings to get some further impact from the community, and we're also in the process of implementing some of the recommendations that were made both by the committee and by our Harvard fellow.
Such as?
Finding a way to share information. We've already had some companies that have indicated that they have software that'll help our departments share and enter it once and everybody has access to it. So it helps to remove the silo effect of, you know, this department has this information and this department has that information. Now everybody will have common information.
Okay. We need some common information about the Economic Development District for downtown. Can you stick around and explain?
Of course.
Cool.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Be sure to download that film one.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Mayor, we were talking about this. I'm calling it the 50-cent economic district. May not be the exact proper term. Tell me, what is the difference in this and a TIF? Is this not a TIF?
It's not a TIF. A TIF, you establish a baseline of sales tax.
Get real close to it. There you go.
Okay, you establish a baseline of sales tax, and then go what the increase in sales tax from the existing sales tax rates goes into a fund. What this is...
This is a 2%.
This is like a surcharge.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. Both of the Buc-ee's use this kind of incentive. So Buc-ee's, you could call it the Buc-ee's 2 Economic Development District. Mm-hmm. But that's what they use. And the great thing about it, it's a back-end incentive. It's not a front-end incentive. There is no money if there is no success. And so the 2%.
So it's incumbent upon the investor to make this work.
That's exactly right. And if the investor doesn't make investments and doesn't increase, virtually all of those buildings are vacant currently.
Right.
Which means we would be, the investor comes in, the investor generate sales tax. We get the existing sales tax, and the investor collects the additional 2%, and that is what goes into the fund. So it is really a tail end. And so I would expect that you won't see any incentive or any projects coming out of this until 4, 5, 6 years down the road.
All right. The question is the 2% sales tax. Is it going to be levied only on businesses in that district?
Yes.
And then only spent on businesses in that district?
Correct.
So a business that's just outside of that district in downtown will not be eligible for any of the funding?
They will not, but they will get the advantage of all the additional traffic that will come in as a result of the new investment, because I suspect that all of downtown, in that area, all of that entertainment district will see a renaissance And that will be a benefit to all of the businesses that are down there. And they haven't had to spend a penny for it.
Okay. Are any of the businesses that are currently in the district generating sales yet? Are there a few? Are there one or two?
I'm not aware of any, because I just don't think any of those are open.
Okay.
But I have not studied the map and compared that. So that is my impression, Aaron, but I would take that as gospel.
The map looks like it goes down Texas Street, but it doesn't include any of the properties on the north or south side of Texas Street,
right?
Correct? Could it be expanded?
It could. You got to remember that the purposes of this district would be to generate at least $1 million in capital expenditure or 10 new jobs. So there would have to be a substantial investment by someone, and certainly we could be open to that. The board will determine, will make recommendations. The ultimate deciding factor is the city council. And so there's a lot of public input, and it is not something that will be controlled. The district will not be controlled by G-Unit.
It'll be controlled by a 7-member board.
Correct.
That you nominate, I think, 5 of the members?
I think that they're set. I think the what we did was we put together the initial board. Subsequent members would be appointed by me, confirmed by the council.
Mm-hmm. Now, if...
Or by whoever's the mayor. But remember,
right.
This is likely to be something that this is not going to produce revenue in 2025 or 2026.
Right.
Hopefully it will produce revenue in 2027 and subsequent years.
My question would be then, the board decides, 50 Cent, you want a new roof on the building in the Red River District at whatever. The board votes to okay the money to be used for that roof. And I'm giving you just a silly example. Does that decision from the board then have to be okayed by the city council for each expenditure?
That's my understanding.
Oh,
for each project.
For each project.
I don't know about each expenditure, but
okay.
For each project. And I doubt that you'll see roof expenditures.
Right.
Because that's might create $1 million in capital investment. Remember, every project has to be at least $1 million or create 10 new jobs. I doubt that a new roof is going to create 10
right.
new jobs just by putting a roof. That's
right.
A maintenance issue.
It also looks like from the map that not all of the Red River District is included.
That's right.
Why was that decision made?
This is primarily aimed at the significant investment that we anticipate the G-Unit is going to make, and therefore this is aimed at G-Unit, just like Bucky's.
Mm-hmm. But you own the other property in the Red River District. The city does.
We do. And we'll benefit from it, because if you generate a lot of traffic, we'll have better tenants and we'll have additional sales tax, and we won't have to have spent any money for that.
Now, 50 Cent has opened a business in the Red River District. Is that correct? He's got one going?
I think there's a daiquiri. I think there's a daiquiri mm-hmm. shop that he has an interest in.
Are there more properties there, and is he shared any information with you on what else he's developing, restaurants or shopping?
He is interested in all of those developments, and those are all things that he deals with on a confidential basis with potential tenants and investors.
Does further to be taken to levy that 2% sales tax, or is it once you've signed this, does it go into effect in 10 days like normal ordinance would?
I think when Mr. Busada made his presentation on Monday, that he mentioned that some additional legislation would be necessary, but I'm really not familiar with that.
Okay. Can you give us, and I know I'm putting you on the spot here, and if you can't, that's fine. Can you give us some examples of how the money would be spent? In your vision, how would the money be spent?
I think if somebody were trying to renovate new space, that was going to create either $1 million of capital expenditure or 10 additional jobs, It also has a film, and there's a film and production aspect of it, so that you could have, for example, StageWorks is included. Mm-hmm. And StageWorks, as you know, is not only a facility for venues, but it also is a soundstage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if they wanted to enhance StageWorks on the soundstage for film and television, that's one of those three categories. So they could do that to enhance the use of StageWorks for film and television.
I asked Mike about this earlier this morning, so I'll ask you because we're not sure. If he holds an event at StageWorks, let's say Humor and Harmony, and they have a big basketball tournament again at StageWorks, can the 2% tax be then imposed on those tickets, the ticket sales
there? Yes, absolutely.
And that is the plan.
That's correct.
Okay, very cool.
So from the tickets to the popcorn to
whatever
souvenir jerseys?
Whatever is sales taxable, the 2% will apply to.
Now, is there a term of once the sales taxes are collected, the city needs to spend those monies in a certain length of time? Is that part of this at all?
No, it'll all go into, and I think what will happen is we'll have to head through, and I would imagine that, you know, I don't know how long it'll take to accrue $1 million, mm-hmm. and the incentives that would go with $1 million, but that is something that I think we will see later. I think that all of the businesses in the district and in the downtown, if we see a renaissance of downtown and the entertainment district, all the boats will rise with the rising tide.
Mm-hmm.
And those other boats are not required to make any expenditures or to collect any additional tax.
That was an interesting thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Aaron and I were talking earlier about, have you looked farther enough ahead to have any type of projections on what to expect from this 2% overall?
No.
There's just, because we don't know what businesses and we don't know what's...
Correct. I mean, it's just...
Which is what I said to Ernie.
That would be a rank speculation.
So, what would you hope?
I don't... You know, this is something, like I say, this is a follow-up. This is kind of a sustainability issue. So you have this initial investment. It creates the additional sales tax. And then you have the additional sales tax to enhance and to maintain what you have created. So it really is, like I say, it's a back-end incentive, not a front-end incentive.
But what about sales tax in general? Not the 2%, just sales tax projections.
We'd have to know how many were there and when they open, and
sure.
That's kind of like tourism numbers. No offense, Stacy, but
one more thing before we let you go. Any movement on Curtis 50 Cent Jackson running, managing, taking over the Red River District? You hinted last time that
we haven't had any further discussions. He is looking right now at where his investments are going to be and what businesses he can open in those area. Obviously, if I have bought a building, my primary interest is let's see what I can do with that building and put in that building to take advantage of my investment.
And we're working on flood mitigation for Millennium Studios.
Yes,
that's our hold up now, from what
that
I understand.
There is in very heavy rainfall. We have some water issues there that we're trying to address. And frankly, that had not ever occurred before. So it's these pop-up hard rain showers that I wasn't here yesterday, but I know that Monday night we had some rather severe
yesterday
weather.
It was coming down sideways for a little while.
Well, that's the kind of rain where this occurs, and it partially is because of where Millennium sits.
Okay.
It is in a bowl.
Yeah.
Yes,
anything new on Humor and Harmony that's still planned for that March weekend? And
we're in the process of just got very, very early process of that, but I believe that will happen, and we have to get on the on the ball with it really quick, because last time we were on a very short time fuse.
And the dome for downtown, have we pulled any permits? Is it going to be a permanent dome or temporary? Do we know yet?
I think his intention is to build a permanent dome.
Very cool.
All right. Mayor, always so gracious, always so transparent. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Congrats on the award. Out. That's cool.
Yes. Block by block. Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back with Morty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Coming up after the news, top of the hour, I-20 progress. Are we in the home stretch? Find out what exit and entrance ramps are going to be open. DOTD, not secretary, spokesperson Aaron Buchanan joining us after the news, top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL. Seven FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Aaron Buchanan, DOTD spokesperson, joining us. Happy Friday, Aaron. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry?
I said thanks for having me.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Thanks for agreeing to jump on here. We wanted to find out about, we got a lot of traffic coming into I-20 with the Revel now. And I know some exit ramps and entrance ramps are beginning to open back up. Tell us how we're coming, where we are, and what our time frame is.
So, you know, product, of course, is coming along quite well. I know it probably is tough to feel that or believe it if you're stuck in the middle of it. But, you know, we're about 95% complete at this point. We were just, in the last few weeks, have opened up one of the Barksdale ramps. But we do have several that are still closed and under reconstruction. You know, we're looking at reopening all of the airline drive ramps, hopefully in late October. And then we'll be reopening the other Barksdale ramp and one of the Benton Road ramps in November. And then that last ramp that we just closed, which is the eastbound Benton off ramp, that one will be the last to reopen. It was the last to close, will be the last to reopen in December. So we're still looking at wrapping up the entire project, I would say sometime between late December and early February. You know, they've had some weather days obviously factored in over the course of the last 2 years and things like that. But, you know, overall, we've been able to keep this project on track, which is a monumental task, let me tell you.
Have they kept it within the budget, too? I mean, that's always I know y'all watch that closely, and that may not be in your wheelhouse, but is it pretty much within budget?
It's pretty much within budget. I mean, obviously, a project of this size, you're going to have some change orders that occur for various things. That's not unusual whatsoever. But we're still within budget. You know, this is not ballooned up into an exorbitant, you know, price tag that no one was prepared for by any means like that. We're about a $127 million project. You know, that's what we expected. And so we're still on track with that, too, which is another monumental task. And so really the project team, our project engineer and his staff and the contractor really deserve the credit for working very closely together over the course of the last 2 years.
That kind of surprises me, the airline drive exit. Is still going to be about another month, you said?
Yep. So, you know, all of those were just like the rest of the project. All of those were removed down to the dirt. And then also, there were quite a few utilities under the roadway that had to be relocated, and they're at the foot of those ramps. And you don't think about those things as a driver, you know?
Right.
But there were lots of utilities that are located under there that have to be carefully relocated so we don't lose power, we don't lose water, we don't lose cable and internet and all of those things. So there was a lot of that finagling that had to occur. And then while the ramps were closed, our own signal crews have come in and gone ahead and removed the old signal poles and masts and are replacing those as well. So they're actively doing that while the ramps are closed and we don't need the signals there. So all that work is occurring simultaneously, but they are pouring concrete. I don't know if any of you have driven by lately, but you will see concrete on those ramps, which is a very good sign.
Yes, I noticed that.
You bet. Aaron Buchanan with DOTD, let me ask you a question, a stupid question. Your children will be driving on this pavement. What's the life of this? I know you don't want to talk about your children driving yet. I understand that.
That's all quite all right.
What's the life of this highway now? Is this a 30-year, 50-year?
So, you know, the original pavement was here for 60 years. That's not ideal. That's not ideal, obviously, and we knew that by the condition of it. But, you know, concrete will last 30 years, 40 years. You know, a lot of people ask why, you know, concrete versus asphalt and things like that. But, you know, obviously concrete's more expensive, but you've got a longer lifespan in terms of when you start to see needing some of those maintenance projects and starting to really put some money into it down the line. So, yes, you know, the next generation will be the ones driving on this, and hopefully this will be enjoying a nice, smooth highway. I think they very much will.
Switching gears to the Jimmy Davis Bridge, I know they had closed the ramp to go east, I believe, for a little while. Is that still closed?
No, that is not still closed to my knowledge. I don't believe so. That was so they could make some repairs to Clyde Fant.
Okay.
You know, moving those cranes across that highway has done some damage. Again, not really a surprise. But, you know, in good faith, obviously, we need to restore the roadway to its condition that it was before. So as part of that project, that's what they were doing because of the damage to that during that process.
And what's our time frame on that now?
You know, we're still early on in the early in the grand scheme, of course. But still, the time frame for that is still to be driving over a new four-lane Jimmy Davis Bridge, you know, about this time 2 years from now, hopefully, mid to late 2027 is still what we're looking at. And then, of course, we still do have a plan for, transforming the existing bridge into a park.
You are reading my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that was going to come.
Yeah,
that's still very much being designed at this time. That will be the last task to occur as part of the project. So, you know, we're still in discussions with the state park system and figuring out how that's going to look. This is the first of its kind for our state to have a linear park like this on a bridge. So it's kind of the first of its kind for everybody in determining what that's going to look like for maintenance and ownership and all of that going forward.
Well, in so addition to maintenance and ownership, Aaron, you bring up a good point. What that's going to look like when mm-hmm. people hear the phrase linear park, I don't think most people understand what that is exactly. Because I think a barbecue grills and frisbee and that's not what this, that's not really what this is designed to be. Explain what a linear park actually is.
So linear being a line, being flat, you know, a lot of these that have occurred in other places have been on abandoned railroad bridges, and those are flat. And this is not one of those.
Right.
So even more unique. But in terms of the idea of a park, a lot of that is still the same, you know, fundamentals of that. You know, you're going to have benches and places for people to go up and have little concerts. And, you know, there will be decorative elements to it, cool. You know, places to look out over the river and, you know, scenic kind of outlook spots and things like that. So,
so it's more of a destination that I was thinking it would be thought of more of as a crossover between the Clyde Fant Parkway and Arthur Ray Teague. But you're saying it's more of a destination then.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, very much for people to come up and hang out and take pictures and be like, look at us at the top of this cool linear park.
Cool.
And in addition to being a connective structure for the paths on either side of the river.
Right.
So all of that is part of the future design of this park. And so that's what makes it cool and different. And so, you know, we're all kind of interested and excited to see what what happens with that.
Absolutely. Back to the bridge for just a minute. As you know, right now, the Jimmy Davis Bridge, if you want to get onto the parkway in Bossier, you have to make that little block, you know, around the, we going to have exit ramps now, both ways?
That's right. So what it looks like now, it's up to envision the future footprint of it, but what we'll have will be more along the mindset of what you have at an interstate interchange, which are on and exit ramps that service all of the surface roadways. So you don't have to make the weird little block and then turn and do all of that. So it'll look more like a cloverleaf interchange with the ramps.
Okay.
And it will help in traffic flow, especially for, you know, the Brooks Grocery Arena when there are events there. I know that's been a big concern of theirs. You know, how will we move this traffic in and out? But once the ramps are in place, you know, all addresses all of those issues because those are designed and to utilize, you know, to move a high volume of traffic on and off the bridge.
Gotcha.
And of course, we're dealing with a two-lane structure. You got to think that we're doubling the capacity of that. And so you're doubling your efficiency in terms of movement of traffic as well.
Great.
Sounds great. Aaron, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Have a great weekend. Aaron Buchanan, DOTD. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
It's one of those days, isn't it?
It really is.
It's just, I don't know, one of those weird days.
Mm-hmm.
I am glad it's Friday, though.
Yeah. I saw something yesterday. I have not finished it, but I thought of you the entire time.
Uh-oh.
You will love this. It's a Netflix documentary. It's called The House of Guinness.
Oh.
See this.
Okay, hold on. I got to write this down.
House of Guinness. It's about when the patriarch of the Guinness family dies, and he's got four children.
And it's on Netflix.
Netflix.
Okay.
And how he leaves the company to these children is a bizarre. He leaves it to only two of them. But if one wants to sell it to the other one, the one loses everything else, so that he's forcing them to work together.
Oh wow!
The will says, "I leave it to these two sons."
And this goes back to
in the 1800s,
right?
Yes,
yeah.
And so the two sons, one of them doesn't want to be in that business at all. He has no interest in it, but he's the older son. Dad left it to him. And in the will said, and you get these homes, and you get this million, and you get the, and the daughter gets it, whatever. But these two sons are stuck working with each other. And I haven't finished watching it yet, but it is so intriguing. And one of them is a ne'er-do-well, so he didn't get anything, and he's pissed. And so I'm trying to figure out how he's going to end up making a living. But the one wants to come to America. And he doesn't want to be in Ireland anymore. He wants,
this. I will be looking that
up. You're going to love it. It's really good. Well done. And how the Guinness family was hated by many in Ireland.
Really?
They were hated. Yeah, because that was evil. Evil alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and when they buried him, when they were carting him through the streets in a glass carriage.
Right.
People were throwing stuff at the carriage where the body
Isn't
was.
I mean, bizarre.
Yeah, it was strange. It really was.
And now it's probably the most beloved brand in Ireland.
Oh, and it shows how it expanded all across the world. And I mean, you're going to, I thought about you the whole time. I went, Mike's going to love this.
There's a documentary that was on Amazon
mm-hmm.
that I watched, and then it wasn't streaming anymore available. You had to buy it. And it's
okay.
It's called simply The Irish Pub.
Oh, cool.
And it's a documentary crew that just went around all these small little hamlets and villages and the big towns
mm-hmm.
and just interviewing these Irish pub owners.
Yeah.
And one of them says, he goes, we're known for having the the best pint of Guinness in all of of Dublin, which means we have the best pint of Guinness in all the world. And he draws a big pint of the Guinness, and he says, let me take a little quality control here. And, you know, big. It's just like, it just seems.
I know. Well, if you're looking for something to watch this weekend, it's the documentary on the Guinness family.
Well, there's no F1 race this weekend.
Oh, there's not. Okay.
But there is an LSU game at 2:30.
2:30 at Ole Miss. We got to win it. It's huge. Huge.
Got more coming up. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM. Got news next, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So yesterday, I don't know, mid-afternoon, in the afternoon, I'm at my studio working, and I get a text from the missus.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm going to go to this.
Okay.
Which means no going home.
We're going,
right?
We're going to this.
We're going to this.
Right.
And it was a windstorm at Providence.
Oh, cool.
Last night, it's, I don't know, 6:30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
They do great things out there.
I hadn't been out there. I don't go out there often because it's not in my realm, if you will. I'm surprised that they let me in.
they open those events to the public. It's cool.
And but I thought about you because it's such a neat vibe in there. Those houses. Now, this concert was right toward the front. They've got kind of a... I don't know, a little lawn area out there. It's and the, it had a big stage set up.
And windstorm ain't cheap.
That's what, you
I mean,
know.
It's amazing.
Dino said something about that. Well, some of our friends' kids were looking at having them at their wedding. She's like, it's, they're not cheap.
No, they're not.
I don't want to say a price because I don't want to.
It's probably changed.
I don't want to. Him to call and go, oh, no.
It's not that bad. Yeah.
It's not that bad. Or, no, you're way low.
Yeah, you're way low. Exactly.
But it was so much fun. I saw our friend Justin Dixon was out there with his lovely wife. I got to meet her.
Very cool.
A lot of people, again, I'm surprised they let me in. Mm-hmm. My broken chair. And
was Grayson Butcher there?
I didn't see Grayson Butcher.
Because he's out in that area, too, okay. I think he's
Is
in
that
Southern
his
Trace.
District?
Yeah, but that's his district, yeah. But he goes to some of those events in there. So, yeah, they do a lot of stuff. They're going to do a big pumpkin patch at Halloween, too. The Junior League puts it on, and it's one of the biggest pumpkin patches in the area. It's real cool. Real cool.
So it was fun. Congratulations to everybody out there. It was just a great time, Aaron. It was all different types of folk were out there.
Yeah.
And everybody was just having a good time.
Enjoying it. What a pleasant night, too. I mean, it was,
it was perfectly
hot. But
now, the skeeters are still bad.
Yeah.
But
are you skeeter bait like me? I'm big time skeeter bait.
I am.
They
For
love
some reason,
me.
Yeah. I guess my blood's extra sweet.
I don't know. That's what my daddy used to tell me. You're so sweet, that's why the skeeters eat you up. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. don't poo-poo that.
No,
I believe
I'm not.
It.
Not at all. Well, and you should, because he absolutely meant it.
Okay, good.
101.7 FM 710 Keel.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm watching this coverage last night. Former FBI Director James Comey indicted. They're trying to get the charges in before the 5-year time span is up for the what's the word I'm looking for? Turn your mic.
Statute of limitations.
Thank you. Yeah. Statute of limitations runs out. I have no doubt. I have no doubt he's guilty. But I don't think he's going to see the inside of a jail any more than Hillary Clinton is going to ever see the inside of a jail.
Right, right.
I have no confidence at all that any of them are going to ever do any time or suffer any consequences of their actions. And that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But lying to Congress is a federal offense.
And that's what I don't like. And I wonder how many have really actually lied. And I'm scared that there's a lot.
Oh.
That there's a ton of them that have. And what will happen? What will be the consequences? Then why even have hearings if you know government officials are going to lie to you? What's the purpose? Are the hearings a fraud?
And he's going to continue to lie. Now you have to lie to cover your lies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, it was one of those, like, my wife walks in and goes, why are you watching this? You just get mad.
Yeah.
I know. I have become my grandfather.
Yeah, I can't watch it anymore. I can't. I just, you know, when we get to the trial and we start putting, maybe I'll watch some of that.
So do you think it'll even make trial?
No, there'll be some sort of settlement. There'll be some sort of settlement to dismiss something and some sort of lesser offense and all that. My problem is it sure does waste a lot of time and a lot of expense, you know, with a federal case that ultimately, like you said, he'll never serve a day in jail. So I hate to say this out loud because this is going to make me sound like a left-wing liberal. It's kind of like wipe your hands of it and move on. Forget, you know.
But see, they made an interesting point about that last night. You know, that's what Trump did. Remember during his 2016 term.
Mm-hmm.
There were the cries, lock her up,
yes,
about Hillary, lock her up. And he kind of took that approach that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's move on.
Right.
And I don't think he has that attitude this time around.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really going after his political opponents. And, you know, if they've committed crimes, should they face the music?
Is he going after his political opponents, or is he trying to actually bring justice to wrongs that were committed?
That's a good point. I mean, lying to Congress is a crime. And
these are actual crimes.
Yeah.
Unlike the 32 indictments that he was indicted under by the lawfare from New York prosecutors.
Yeah, I'm not sure what will happen with these cases. I'll watch it a little bit. I'm not going to get down in the weeds in it. It's just, I just get so tired of all the, what we care about in our daily lives, Americans.
Right.
I care about, can I afford to go buy a ribeye today? How bad are eggs? How's the gas?
Is Cracker Barrel going to change their logo?
Don't care about that.
I'm staying awake at night.
There's just things that, you know,
I know
that are my school's good for my kids.
And the average person, Aaron, doesn't keep up with any of this stuff.
None.
None. Don't keep up with any of this.
And it's kind of interesting because when you literally go on a vacation from this job for a week or two,
right,
and you get out in the real world during regular times, you know, go eat breakfast somewhere. They're not talking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a rip about this stuff. They give a rip about how much they paid for eggs, you know, and what's happening at their kids' school and what sports their kids are loving playing and that kind of thing.
But that's why things have been the way they've been for so long, because people are being unwillingly manipulated. Maybe more people should pay more attention.
That's never going to happen, Mike. I know we wish it would. It's just not. I hate to say it.
101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
I don't know that I've been so glad to see a Friday as I have been this week.
Yeah.
I've been really tired for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like more than usual.
It's dragging. It's just dragging.
It's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it.
Looking forward to the revel, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love having the revel in town.
I passed by it yesterday. The mayor was in on the second line when they opened yesterday. He did the, they did the second line march, and I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. That's some neat.
I think Pam Tillis, Mel Tillis's daughter, who had hits on her own, is going to be there maybe tonight. Don't quote me. I have to look that back up. Yeah, they've got a lot of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful weather this weekend.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. So, it does. It really does look gorgeous.
What about weekend plans?
They're still got the poker tournament going on. The state championship poker tournament's going on at Horseshoe. And
I think that's funny.
Let's see if I pony up some more cash and see what I've had no luck this week, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Gonna do the revel at some point. And maybe not this weekend, maybe next. I'm going back to the pool. I missed the pool last weekend because of too much poker. So hopefully I'll be back in the water tomorrow. When you don't go for a few days, you really miss it. Definitely. Reuben, we got to say happy birthday to your mom today, too, right? Isn't it her birthday?
Big happy birthday to my mom.
Yeah.
That's right.
How old is mom? 39?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. That's what I figured.
She says, that's what you better say.
Yes, exactly.
No, I'll be coming into Minden this weekend to hang out. It'll
okay.
Be fun.
Oh, that's nice.
Because at some point, moms don't need a gift anymore.
No.
So it's just spend time with her.
Oh, yeah.
And hang out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to church with her Sunday morning, then we're going to go to eat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Just hang out.
Yes.
Now, she's got to be like our age.
It's somewhere in there.
Right, right. Yeah, okay.
Like I said, 39.
He's right.
Like I said, 39. Because
Reuben is like my son's age, or Micah, daughter's
I'm
age.
Yeah, 37,
you're, yeah. Yeah, okay. So, you're close to right about my daughter's age.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is crazy because we're only 39.
Yes, exactly.
Weird.
And I was thinking the other day about my kids and their high school reunions. And then I thought, surely their five-year reunion, they're beyond 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, they're at 12, 13 years out of high school now. I'm like, whoa.
It's funny how it works that way.
Next year's my 20-year.
Oh.
Yeah.
20 years for you?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Ooh.
So what does that make ours?
We're not going to talk about that.
No.
We're not
going to
talk about that.
We're going to talk about free speech, though, because there are a lot of discussions going on about free speech and free speech being inhibited. Well, it really isn't.
Yeah.
Royal Alexander, constitutional attorney, going to join us after the news top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. FM and 710 Keel. Also on the free Keel app, you can take us wherever you go and listen live. Royal Alexander, Shreveport constitutional attorney, joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Royal, a lot of talk lately about violation of free speech. I haven't seen it happening, like some have tried to argue. But there's also consequences to that free speech, and you brought out some great points. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Thank you for joining us. You've got a great story in the Louisiana Hayride, or in the Hayride, rather, about free speech that may not include in freedom from the consequences. Tell us about what you're talking about here.
Sure. I think that's an important distinction because we do have free speech in this country, but we have to remember what we are talking about. And the First Amendment, we have to say the Constitution generally and the First Amendment specifically are a restraint on Congress, on government at every level. And that's different. We're talking about the government being able to limit our speech. That's very different than, for example, a private employer being able to limit our speech. A private employer is always free as long as it's not one of the historical grounds, such as age discrimination, race discrimination, or that kind of discrimination. An employer can decide, look, this employee of mine has now put my company in a bad light, say, with their inflammatory comments about Charlie Kirk. And because of that, it may cost me some business, and I'm firing the employee because I have a right to favor company profitability over anything else. Mm-hmm. And so that's why many of those people have been fired for statements they've made. It's not the government doing it. It's a private employer, which is different than, say, a public school.
Do you feel like several Republican senators have come out and said the FCC chairman, though, did go too far?
Yeah, that's different, Aaron. That is the government. And I don't think that was necessary. I do think that gets much closer to the line because the FCC chairman and the FCC does have a lot of impact on broadcasting licenses. So I don't think Brandon Carr should have made that comment. That's much closer to the line than these other things. So, yes, I agree with him. He should not have made those comments.
And you have to flip the script here. If your FCC chairman can say this when there's a conservative in power, can your FCC chairman say this when there's a liberal in power to the right-wing media?
It always goes back and forth. What's mm-hmm. good for the goose is good for the gander. It's the same people who would have been concerned by a comment like that from the Obama FCC director or the Biden FCC director have a right to make an argument over the Trump FCC director. Mm-hmm. You can say we're going to consider all things, but we also there's ways to word it because they are the government there. That they are the one who's limited from restricting speech. I mean, they're not the FCC chairman directly impacts those licenses. And I think it sends the wrong impression.
Mm-hmm. And as much as I don't like Jimmy Kimmel, the things that he says and professes, I do not agree with what Brendan Carr said last week or earlier this week. And the comments about, oh, we're going after The View next. That makes no, I don't like that at all. Mm-mm. I can't stand The View, but it's my option not to watch.
It is, and it has to be that way, or we don't have a First Amendment. I mean, again, that's the example that has been so concerning because that is the government potentially restricting speech, which it absolutely cannot do. And I agree with both y'all. I can't stand either of those shows. I don't think they're funny, but let them fail on their own. Let their networks finally say they're costing us too much money. It's just too stupid. We're not doing this anymore. That doesn't need to be the government doing that. It doesn't.
In going a different route as far as the broadcast companies, which they have a responsibility different from cable companies because Fox News and CNN doesn't have to apply for an FCC license for their content, as does a broadcast company like ABC or NBC. There is a distinct difference, something that Jasmine Crockett doesn't understand, but there is a difference and a different responsibility.
There is, and that's why this is an area. And Carr, it's not necessary to say these things. It's because a court, I promise you, If any of this got challenged, and it would be if anyone got fired, if it's not already. I mean, Kimmel is back. I don't know if they're all picking him up. But the point of it is these comments by Brendan Carr would be exhibit one in a trial over whether and why a certain network or anything else was removed from the air. They're going to be like, he said he's doing this. That would be the very first exhibit in the trial of proving that our freedom of speech was curtailed by government. That's right.
The big story in this whole Kimmel mess, and you said it early on, it's about ratings and money. Follow the money. If our show wasn't people weren't listening and customers weren't buying advertising, Mike and I would be gone. This is about making money for my company.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's got to be the bottom line. Again, we have to be past, because as Mike said, the Supreme Court itself has said, look, avert your eyes, turn the TV off, turn the radio off. Don't look at that. Don't go to that social media app or whatever. That's the way we reject. And again, the company loses money and then eventually something changes because it is about profitability. So, you can't just say. I mean, it's just stupid. He's created problems for the Trump administration that didn't need to be created. The free market is going to weed it all out on its own. You know, it just is.
Shouldn't these comedians realize that they really should stay in their lane? I mean, I'm not watching that show for political speech. That's not what we go to there for. I mean,
I agree. Aaron, remember, people like the three of us, we saw Johnny Carson, and yeah. Johnny Carson made a point of never being political. He would make fun of everything, and it was very funny, and you could fall asleep watching him. Early on, it was that way with Letterman, too, mm-hmm. because
early on,
make fun
right.
of early on. Make fun of everything, and it was a good way to wind down at the end of the day. But these people don't have any other material than, you know, attack Trump, attack Trump, attack Trump. And sure, there's a lot to shoot at for humorous purposes there. Well, no, that's probably the wrong choice of words. There's a lot of things to use about Trump's personality, but use it when we have Biden and he's stumbling around. Can we not ever laugh about that too? It's mm-hmm. just never balanced. It's not balanced.
Yeah, and that's just not their wheelhouse. And I don't understand. I don't think they get it. I really don't.
And I appreciate the distinction you made between the government, but then also private employers. The freedom of speech is not being inhibited because you said something that could damage the employer.
Right. Again, the First Amendment doesn't reach private employers in the same way. In other words, under federal law, you can't discriminate over things like race discrimination, age discrimination, or gender discrimination. Mm-hmm. That's concrete. But anything other than that, an employer can fire an employee if they post something. If we own a bakery locally, the three of us owned a bakery, and one day I just got so mad, obviously wouldn't be about Charlie Kirk, but it would be something so inflammatory. One of y'all could vote me out by saying, look, no one's trying to tell you what you can say, but what you've said today hurts our bakery. People aren't coming in. They're mad.
Yeah.
I'm just sorry. That's not we're firing you, but it's not for race, age, or gender discrimination. We're firing you because you're hurting company profitability.
Do you anticipate Kimmel and the rest of them will see the light and start making adjustments? Mike's laughing. Any chance of that happening? None?
No.
I think they're so embittered. Maybe that's not the right word, but it's, I don't know. And Kimmel can be funny, but it's like, you pick other material. And that's why I think a lot of people feel the way we do. Look, I'm willing to laugh, make fun of me, but make fun of everyone else too. Mm-hmm. That's how people kind of live life. And he wouldn't. And yeah. then, it was always laughing at Trump. But then the Charlie Kirk comments were, I mean, to me, a lot of people could just say, yeah. look, I'm done.
Yeah.
But you're right again. What? It's supposed to be us not watching TV. And that hurts their ratings, and then they make a change, not knocking him off the air.
Yeah, when he was talking about the Easter egg roll on the White House lawn and how President Trump said, I thank Melania because she organized this and has worked hard. And Kimmel came back and goes, she isn't working hard. She's not dying any eggs. And I thought, you know, that's true. That's probably true, and it could have been funny. But then he gets to be so hateful.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And right. Obviously, she wasn't. But, when I lived there, I went to the Easter egg roll a few times with kids and family. And it there's a lot more to it than just the dying of the Easter eggs. You've got to plan for who's all coming. There's
sure.
hundreds, really thousands of people who want to come on it. It is an event to plan. But obviously, she wasn't dying the eggs. And that can be funny. And she's a character herself. As human beings, we can all. We should make light of ourselves a lot more often than we do, yeah. but you got to do someone other than Trump and Melania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Royal, thank you so much. I appreciate you jumping on with us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Update on I-20 coming up in about 20 minutes from right now.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
What a gorgeous morning. Last night, I told you we went to Providence and saw a windstorm. Mm-hmm. I got a text from my wife in the afternoon saying, hey, I want to go to this. So
yeah,
that's where I was last
night.
But I was just thinking how perfect the weather is.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
We have days like we are having right now.
Definitely.
So get out and enjoy it.
The Revel tonight, Clara Ray, James LeBlanc, Pam Tillis is tonight at 8:30.
It is tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you want to see Pam Tillis, tonight is your night.
Red River Revels. Lots going on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, get out and enjoy it.
You bet.
Be careful on I-20.
It's not bad.
It's not, well, yeah. Once you get through the initial funnel,
right.
Like if you're going into downtown right there by Live Casino, mm-hmm. where it funnels into one lane, then it goes, moves again.
Yep.
If you don't have the stupid trucks violating state law.
None of them are doing that anymore, are they?
Oh, yeah, right. We'll talk with Aaron Buchanan from the DOTD and get an update on I-20 in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I-20 progress moving forward. How much longer? What about the exit ramps? Well, find out all that and more with Aaron Buchanan, DOTD spokesperson, right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Aaron Buchanan, DOTD spokesperson, joining us. Happy Friday, Aaron. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry?
I said thanks for having me.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Thanks for agreeing to jump on here. We wanted to find out about, we got a lot of traffic coming into I-20 with the Revel now. And mm-hmm. I know some exit ramps and entrance ramps are beginning to open back up. Tell us how we're coming, where we are, and what our time frame is.
So, you know, product, of course, is coming along quite well. I know it probably is tough to feel that or believe it if you're stuck in the middle of it. But, you know, we're about 95% complete at this point. We were just, in the last few weeks, have opened up one of the Barksdale ramps. But we do have several that are still closed and under reconstruction. You know, we're looking at reopening all of the airline drive ramps, hopefully in late October. And then we'll be reopening the other Barksdale ramp and one of the Benton Road in November. And then that last ramp that we just closed, which is the eastbound Benton off ramp, that one will be the last to reopen. It was the last to close, will be the last to reopen in December. So we're still looking at wrapping up the entire project, I would say, sometime between late December and early February. You know, they've had some weather days, obviously, factored in over the course of the last 2 years and things like that. But, you know, overall, we've been able to keep this project on track, which is a monumental task, let me tell you.
Have they kept it within the budget, too? I mean, that's always I know y'all watch that closely, and that may not be in your wheelhouse, but is it pretty much within budget?
It's pretty much within budget. I mean, obviously, a project of this size, you're going to have some change orders that occur for various things. That's not unusual whatsoever. But we're still within budget. You know, this is not ballooned up into an exorbitant, you know, price tag that no one was prepared for by any means like that. We're about a $127 million project. You know, that's what we expected. And so we're still on track with that, too, which is another monumental task. And so really the project team, our project engineer and his staff and the contractor really deserve the credit for working very closely for the last 2 years.
That kind of surprises me, the airline drive exit is still going to be about another month, you said?
Yep. So, you know, all of those were just like the rest of the project. All of those were removed down to the dirt. And then also there were quite a few utilities under the roadway that had to be relocated. And they're at the foot of those ramps. And you don't think about those things as a driver, you know.
Right.
But there were lots of utilities that are located under there that have to be carefully relocated so we don't lose power, we don't lose water, we don't lose cable, all of those things. So there was a lot of that finagling that had to occur. And then while the ramps were closed, our own signal crews have come in and gone ahead and removed the old signal poles and masts and are replacing those as well. So they're actively doing that while the ramps are closed and we don't need the signals there. So all that work is occurring simultaneously, but they are pouring concrete. I don't know if you've been by, but you will see concrete on those ramps, which is a very good sign.
Yes, I noticed that.
You bet. Aaron Buchanan with DOTD, let me ask you a question, a stupid question. Your children will be driving on this pavement. What's the life of this? I know you don't want to talk about your children driving yet. I understand that.
Well, that's all quite all right.
What's the life of this highway now? Is this a 30-year, 50-year?
So, you know, the original pavement was here for 60 years. That's not ideal. That's not, obviously, and we knew that by the condition of it. But, you know, concrete will last 30 years, 40 years. You know, a lot of people ask why, you know, concrete versus asphalt and things like that. But, you know, obviously concrete's more expensive, but you've got a longer lifespan in terms of when you start to see needing some of those maintenance projects and starting to really put some money into it down the line. So, yes, you know, the next generation will be the ones driving on this, and hopefully this will be enjoying a nice, smooth highway. I think they very much will.
Switching gears to the Jimmy Davis Bridge, I know they had closed the ramp to go east, I believe, for a little while. Is that still closed?
No, that is not still closed to my knowledge. I don't believe so. That was so they could make some repairs to Clyde Fant.
Okay.
You know, moving those cranes across that highway has done some damage. Again, not really a surprise. But, you know, in good faith, obviously, we need to restore the roadway to its condition that it was before. So as part of that project, that's what they were doing because of the damage to that during that process.
And what's our time frame on that now?
You know, we're still early on in the early in the grand scheme, of course. But still, the time frame for that is still to be driving over a new four-lane Jimmy Davis Bridge, you know, about this time 2 years from now, hopefully. Mid to late 2027 is still what we're looking at. And then, of course, we still do have a plan for, transforming the existing bridge into a park.
You are reading my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that was going to come. Of course, and that's still very much being designed at this time. That will be the last task to occur as part of the project. So, you know, we're still in discussions with the state park system and figuring out how that's going to look. This is the first of its kind for our state to have a linear park like this on a bridge. So it's kind of the first of its kind for everybody in determining what that's going to look like for maintenance and ownership and all of that going.
Well, in addition to maintenance and ownership, Aaron, you bring up a good point. What that's going to look like when people hear the phrase linear park, I don't think most people understand what that is exactly. Because I think of barbecue grills and frisbee, and that's not what this. That's not really what this is designed to be. Explain what a linear park actually is.
So linear being a line, being flat, you know, a lot of these that have occurred in other places have been on abandoned railroad bridges, and those are flat. And this is not one of those.
Right.
So even more unique. But in terms of the idea of a park, a lot of that is still the same, you know, fundamentals of that. You know, you're going to have benches and places for people to go up and have little concerts, and, you know, there will be decorative elements to it, you know, places to look out over the river and you know, scenic kind of outlook spots and things like that. So,
so it's more of a destination that I was thinking it would be thought of more of as a crossover between the Clyde Fant Parkway and Arthur Ray Teague. But you're saying it's more of a destination then.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, very much for people to come up and hang out and take pictures and be like, look at us at the top of this cool linear park.
Cool.
And that, and in addition to being a connective structure for the two, the paths on either side of the river.
Right.
So all of that is part of the future design of this park. And so that's what makes it cool and different. And so, you know, we're all kind of interested and exciting to see what happens with that.
Absolutely. Back to the bridge for just a minute. Now, the Jimmy Davis Bridge, if you want to get onto the parkway in Bossier, you have to make that little block, you know, around the... Are we going to have exit ramps now both ways?
That's right. So what it looks like now, it's up to envision the future footprint of it, but what we'll have will be more along the mindset of what you have at an interstate interchange, which are on and exit ramps that service all of the surface roadways. So you don't have to make the weird little block and then turn and do all of that. So it'll look more like a cloverleaf interchange with the ramps.
Okay.
And it will help in traffic flow, especially for, you know, the Brooks Grocery Arena when there are events there. I know that's been a big concern of theirs. You know, how will we move this traffic in and out? But once the ramps are in place, you know, all addresses all of those issues because those are designed and to utilize, you know, to move a high volume of traffic on and off the bridge.
Gotcha.
And of course, we're dealing with a two-lane structure. You got to think that we'll work the capacity of that and doubling your efficiency in terms of movement of traffic as well.
Great.
Sounds great. Aaron, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Have a great weekend. Aaron Buchanan, DOTD. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel Doctor.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
The convenience store.
Yeah, people are in kind of up in arms about a proposed Murphy gas station / convenience store that is proposed for the corner of East Kings and that Mall St. Vincent Street that you turn in to go into Mall St. Vincent.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right across from Canes and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On the southwest corner.
There's some houses there now.
I think so. On the southwest corner, Murphy is proposing a gas station there, which would have the convenience store, like all Murphy gas stations would. And the neighborhood is really riled up about it. And they're fighting it.
What neighborhood is right there? I mean, there are some older homes right there, some nice two-story homes. But I wouldn't want my front yard being East Kings Highway at I-49.
Right, but the Highland Neighborhood Association is really the one opposing it. And you know, they have a really valid point. Because if you look, if you drive out here where we are and you drive past the Murphy gas station, what do you see on the service road across the street from it? Trash.
Well, yeah.
It gets, I mean, it really generates a lot of trash.
Well, there's some dirt bags that
just toss their junk out.
Yes, that's at every place.
And the Murphys are though that they are really a bad culprit in terms of generating a lot of trash and litter in an area. And there's a lot of concern about that. And there's a lot of concern about the ingress and egress right there in the area. So folks are really up in arms, and they've been, you know, contacting their city council members and the MPC members about whether or not this is going to move forward. I don't know the status of when the next hearing is, but I'll be working on that over the weekend, and we'll work on bringing some more details about that, because it's got a lot of people in that area really riled up, and they've started a petition.
Wow.
I think the petition's actually on change.org to try to stop it. And they've got information about how to reach the councilman, Mr. Brooks, in that area, and how to reach the mayor. And
so if it were another company, would there be as much uproar, do you think?
I think
like a Circle K or a 7-Eleven that's now coming here?
I think they would fight a convenience store right there. I don't think they want that. And they're trying to keep it out, because once you let that in, then that side of the street, then you'd have other things would be able to move in. So they're hoping to keep it out.
I'm going to have to pay more attention, because I can't see a lot of room there for expansion.
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of land there for that area. I'm not sure. But the southwest corner, so if you're coming out of Mall St. Vincent and you're looking at the Raising Cane's,
yeah,
the southwest corner would be on your left.
Right, right.
And I don't see a whole lot of property there where they
would
put that.
It's all homes.
Yes.
There are still a lot of homes right there.
That far up?
Yeah, because even if you go toward St. Vincent Mall, to the right, there are still homes there.
Okay. Well, they may have purchased one of those homes and plan to use that land. So we shall see.
Have a great weekend. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.